Oh, plus, you just can't help yourself, can you, huh?
I don't help anyone.
Huh.
Unless they've got the cash.
Yeah, I'm going to help you out the door if you don't stop.
If you can fit
anyway,
through
folks,
it.
Hey, I'm going to knock you out.
Excuse me, but, like, is anyone going to introduce me, bro?
All right. And this is Vince Russo.
I thought it was the mailman.
Huh. Why don't you be serious?
Smells like one.
Well, what the frig, bro?
All right, enough. Folks, coming up in just a short is a podcast hosted by two guys you've never heard of and probably never will.
Monsoon knows a guy who knows a guy, if you know what I'm saying.
I get it.
Oh, will you stop? Folks, Chris and George or something, they do the Hot Tag Podcast, and here it is.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Hot Tag Wrestling Show. I'm Chris T. Francesco. George Rogers and Dean Halsap are with me. And this is the first time we are streaming live on the Ring the Bell Network. We are also on the Hot Tag channel as well on YouTube. So if you guys are watching, wherever you are, please like, subscribe, and ring the bell for notifications. We are just so appreciative that you're here. All right, so this is something that we've been wanting to talk about for actually a little bit now, probably since before Mania, a couple weeks before that. I know George and I had talked about this a few months ago, if he even remembers, but what I wanted to do, it kind of rang my bell a little bit, no pun intended, when IGN and Bleacher Report had released their top 25 wrestlers of all time. The Bleacher Report was really offensive. Like that list was highly offensive. And who knows, when people hear my list, they could think the same thing. But in my opinion, it was insane who they had and what they had there. And then IGN was a little bit more respectable. I actually have to say they got a lot of those, I think, correct or within that realm. To me, there's just so much that goes into naming the top anything in professional wrestling because, you know, for us, we're all in our mid to late 30s. So we can't appreciate guys probably like Terry Funk, or we can't appreciate guys like Bruno Sammartino, or, you know, the Nature Boy, Buddy Rogers, the original Nature Boy, Lou Thesz, like those kind of guys, or Vern Gagne. Like, we can't appreciate those dudes. So it's hard for us to really lump that in there. But even back then, like, wrestling wasn't what it was since 1984. You know, it became a global juggernaut back in the early 80s with the birth of WrestleMania, really, and Hulkamania. Like, just those two together really turned wrestling into what we have now. And then, of course, you know, you have the Attitude Era, the Ruthless Aggression Era, and pretty much today, the last 5 or 6 years, the single probably greatest and most profitable era in the history of wrestling is over the last, you know, 5 years or so. Even the last couple years, the company just sold for almost $10 billion. They're signing 10-year, $10 billion television deals or streaming deals. Like, it's incredible. You know, Cody Rhodes in one weekend is selling over $1 million worth of merchandise. So the world that we're in now, you know, financially of pro wrestling is bigger than it's ever been. But when you're making a list like this, the top 20, so many factors go into it. To me, anyway, I you know, you can look at, you know, their durability, how long they've been around, their influence on generations, you know, how much of a draw are they, but, you know, their in-ring work. So much goes into that. And I just want to preface this by saying this isn't our top 20 favorite lists, like our favorite wrestlers of all time. This is top 20 of who we believe are the greatest wrestlers of all time. So this is a two-part show. Tonight we're doing numbers 20 to number 11, and then tomorrow night we're going to do numbers 10 through 1. So I guess we can get the ball rolling a little bit. And at the end of the show.
Now hold on, Christopher. I think this is a conspiracy that intro only said that there was two people hosting this show. What about the body? What about the mind?
Well, he's not here. When he's here, we'll ask him. He's down in the Baja.
So
living off the grid.
At the end, we'll talk about a little bit of the current stuff that's going on. By the way, you know, You know, from my end, you know, prayers up to Rhea Ripley. It sucks when that kind of stuff happens, that someone gets hurt and has to drop a title after holding it for over a year. That just really, really sucks. So I'm assuming Liv Morgan will probably win that title at Backlash. I'm just assuming.
It looks like that title is going to be up for grabs next week on Raw.
Okay, good. All right, so let's get things started. I am going to start from my right, and I'm on the very first one that are far left. So Dean, you're going to go first with your number 20 of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
I think this one is going to come a shock to both of you that he's on my list. But number 20 is Trish Stratus. No, I'm just kidding.
Unfortunately, this is not a female list. This is men only. But if there was a female list, Trish would obviously be there. How misogynistic of you. Yeah, I know. Vintage wrestling fans.
when we do the top 20 females, we're all just going to take a piss break for the whole show. So my number 20 is Roman Reigns. And it is solely based off of the 4-year run he just had. Because I think it's one of the most incredible things that's ever happened in the history of the business. It was an incredible run.
Mm-hmm.
And it saved his career, honestly. It really did. Because he was DOA every time he came, did mm-hmm. anything. And that yeah. saved his career. And to me, it catapulted him.
Yeah.
Like skyrocketed him into the stratosphere.
I agree. I'm really excited to see what's next for him as well. He just signed an exclusive Jordan deal for a shoe deal. So I think he's the first or second wrestler for that to ever happen to. So congrats to Roman for that. George, you're number 20.
My number 20 is, it might be a shock to Dean, Chris. You got the preemptive look at the list because you're like, let me see your list. And I guess to check it out for spelling errors or whatever.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of it.
My number 20 is Chris Jericho.
It's interesting. I don't think it's bad.
Wherever this man went,
mm-hmm.
he was successful.
Yeah.
I mean, even in WWE, where they, you know, he was kind of stifled because they really only pay attention to the main eventers and let the undercard pretty much do whatever they wanted. But he was like, all right, well, if you don't have anything for me, I'm just going to walk out here every week and just call out Goldberg until something actually happens.
Yeah. I think Chris Jericho should run a masterclass on how to reinvent your character.
Yeah.
And make it work. I really do think that. So that's a great one.
What his current stuff, what he's doing right now, probably not the best that he's been doing. I don't know what, I mean, he's just messing around with Hook right now. I couldn't even tell you, but I know it's not really drawing any eyes. But I mean, this man has gone away and reinvented himself so many times and always successful with it.
Yeah. All right. My number 20, maybe he's low on the list, but you know, for a lot of his, over the last, I would say last 35 years, it's kind of been irrelevant. But before that, I'm going to say Jerry the King Lawler at number 20. I think in terms, if you ask a lot of wrestlers that are maybe a little bit older than us, they'll always bring up, you know, how influential, you know, Jerry Lawler was. I mean, he was the king of an entire territory. No pun intended. He was the king of an entire territory. I mean, he ran Memphis, very profitable territory. A lot of dudes went in and out of Memphis under Lawler. And, you know, George, you brought up a great point, too. He was one of the early guys that helped get pro wrestling in the mainstream with the whole Andy Kaufman ordeal. And that whole rivalry, that was a really big deal for wrestling at the time. You know, Jerry Lawler and Andy Kaufman helped make the business, you know, stay kayfabe, look real at the time. And that was tremendous. So yeah, I'm going to say Jerry Lawler, and I know his commentating doesn't really count from this aspect, but you know, one of the greatest announcers, you know, color commentators of all time. He was very influential in our entire youth growing up watching wrestling, but I think from a top 20 of all time, I feel like Lawler deserves at least that top 20 spot. Dean, you're number 19.
I have Brock Lesnar.
Damn, I wasn't expecting Brock.
Yeah, I as I had gone back and combed over my 10 through 1 is pretty locked, but my 20 through 11, I kind of shuffled around a couple times, and I was really thinking about like Brock is one of the best big, you don't think of him as a big man, but
right,
he's one of the best big men in the business. His initial run when he was, you know, was it the next big thing they called him, whatever it was?
Yeah, the next big thing.
Yeah, that was incredible. And then he left and came back, and his second run was just as incredible. And he was booked and marketed as a main attraction,
mm-hmm,
the whole way. And I think he's kind of underrated, just like another guy I have a couple spots ahead of him. I think he's like grossly underrated in the business.
I agree. I think Brock is very much underrated. I agree. I mean, John Cena has said multiple times he thinks Brock's one of the best of all time. Like, mm-hmm, and that's a, you know, that's a lot coming from literally one of the best of all time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Brock Lesnar could be number one just for that time he jumped over the top rope and like bounced off the rope and did a flip.
Yes.
Like, it's just incredible.
George, number 19.
My number 19 is Booker T.
Interesting.
Mm.
I put Booker on here. I mean, aside from the fact that, I mean, the man has basically had two Hall of Fame careers. He definitely had a Hall of Fame career in WCW and a Hall of Fame career in the WWE. But he did in WCW what very few wrestlers could do, was he was able to stand his own with the NWO. Not like fight against them, but he stood out with the NWO basically running that show. Like, because whenever you saw WCW, it's like, oh, well, NW this, NW that. But then meanwhile, here's this Harlem Heat tag team, mm-hmm, that's gaining steam and getting traction, and they're getting cheered every time that come out. Booker T goes solo, and the man goes through the roof. He's one of the best. I mean, he's held just about every individual title that the man could hold in WCW and WWE. I think with the exception of the European title, I think that was pretty much really phased out by the time he got there. And then even his TNA run was still fantastic,
mm-hmm,
with the Main Event Mafia. I mean, he stood out everywhere he went, and nobody ever really made a big deal about, oh, you know, he's the first Black WCW champion or this, that. They were just like, you know what? This guy is great between the ropes.
Yeah.
And Booker can still go. I mean, his commentating right now is kind of, it's a little hit and miss, but you get him in between the ropes and he'll put on a clinic.
I agree. I mean, that's a good, I didn't think of Booker T at all, but it makes, I mean, that's a great point you make when he's had two Hall of Fame careers, which is a pretty big deal. My number 19 is, Roddy Piper, Hot Rod. That might be a little bit too low for him, but I can't really put him much higher, especially from like an in-ring perspective. I mean, I don't even know what kind of style you can consider Piper. I guess brawling would be great, but I mean, he's, you know, WrestleMania 1 probably isn't as big as it was without Piper being that ultimate heel against Hogan. So I that's usually, you know, he was such a great, I mean, nemesis to almost anyone. That he went up against, you know, having who was his partner WrestleMania 1?
Orndorff.
Orndorff, right. So, and then like that whole, you know, it was very public, his legitimate beef and hatred for Mr. T. That was a huge deal, man. So sometimes I've heard people say before, there might not be a Hulkamania right off the bat if there's not Roddy Piper. I don't know how much of that I can believe. I think Hulkamania would have probably been just fine regardless, but to have that kind of nemesis to go up against and Piper, who was just a heat magnet in that era. You know, you look at guys like CM Punk, or, you know, I don't want to bring her up, but, you know, Ronda Rousey, you know, they were big deals in keeping Piper's name in the spotlight for saying how big of influences they were. Even Bruce Pritchard says, a lot of his ideas came from just watching and being around Roddy Piper. So I have a Piper at number 19. Number 18 for you, Dean.
I have Piper.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not like the biggest Roddy Piper fan out there. Because I don't even, outside of the WrestleMania 1 and the wrestling boxing match of WrestleMania 2, I can't name you a single Roddy Piper match.
What about the Hollywood backlot brawl with Goldust?
Oh, I forgot about that. but Piper had such an incredible influence. I mean, obviously he was a wrestler, clearly, but he had such, he kind of was beyond that because he was so good on the mic and he was such a good antagonist to Hogan and other baby faces. Any list I feel that doesn't have Piper, at least in the top 25, is a little invalid to me.
I agree.
Again, and not being, I'm not a massive fan of Piper, but I do like Piper.
Yeah.
I think the aura of Piper is bigger than what Piper might've actually been in the ring. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. With the music and the kilt and just, you know, painting his body half black and stuff like that. Like
not the best choice.
He's one of the greatest heels of all time, if not the greatest heel of all time. I mean,
he's definitely in that argument.
Yeah. He's my number 18.
I think his best match, if I were to watch one Piper match, and this would probably be the only Piper match I would ever watch, would be his WrestleMania 8 match against Bret Hart. I thought that was really good.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was the best he ever looked. I thought obviously Bret made him look like $1 billion. He will never be known for his in-ring work.
Not that he was bad. It just wasn't, out of this world. He was a classic, like, wrestling vaudevillian heel in the ring. Heel tactics, eye pokes, all that stuff. He was just standard fare in the ring. Not bad, just standard.
Yeah. All right. How about you, number 18? I'm sorry, number 19.
18.
No, 18, I'm sorry. 18. You're number 18.
Yeah. My 18 is Jerry Lawler.
Okay, so we're close.
For a lot of the reasons you said, it isn't even that, the man ran Memphis. The man owned Memphis. You couldn't go into Memphis without, basically going to Jerry and being like, hey, can I wrestle here?
Mm-hmm. You're still going to pay him tolls when you go in there.
Yeah, you still got to be, exactly. He still has a lien on half the city. But then the Kaufman, and then with the Andy Kaufman, he basically brought wrestling out of the, out of the fairground, so to speak, and put it mainstream, on Letterman, Smack and Kaufman, to the point that everybody thought it was real. Right up to where when Jim Carrey did Man on the Moon and he's doing method the entire time, acting like Andy Kaufman, trying to pick fights with Jerry Lawler, to even Jim Carrey didn't realize that it was all an act.
Right.
It's like, dude, you're in the movie on his life and you don't you don't even know this. But Lawler, he came over to WWF in 93 as a wrestler. Yeah. Even then he was kind of winding down and transitioned into commentary. And he's the voice of a generation, essentially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Him and JR, two halves of one of the greatest commentary teams of all time, if not the best.
Mm-hmm. My number 18 might actually be a shock to a lot of people, but again, this isn't our top 20 favorites of all time. This is just who I think top 20 of all time is. I think number 18, I have CM Punk. I think Punk in about 10 years, we're going to look back as one of the more prominent influencers of the next generation of pro wrestlers that we probably don't understand or realize that right now. He was probably, I'm trying to think of another guy who's a bigger success story out of the indies than CM Punk. A guy that trained himself, bet on himself every single time, never had the body of the conventional pro wrestler, never had that look. But you know, he's always someone that people look at as a very influential figure coming out of the indies, you know, putting ROH on the map and stuff like that. And then coming into a company where, you know, he was a Paul Heyman guy, which back in that time in the early 2000s was probably a bad check mark next to your name at that time.
Well, bad checks and Paul Heyman go hand in hand.
Right. Exactly. Touche. So I just look at CM Punk as a guy who's, you can already hear and see it now where he's always around NXT. You can always hear him talking to somebody, some young pro wrestler. And I think the waves that he's made in the industry are very much noted. You know, he's hated for some of the things he's done or, you know, has been told to us that he's done. But I mean, Shawn Michaels did 10 George times worse than that.
He's chomping at the bits to bash AEW right now.
It's
look
okay.
at his face.
No, I'm not.
Oh my God.
I mean, even Punk's run before he left, I mean, he was viewed as a legitimate villain in the industry. No matter what he said or did, but you know, Shawn Michaels in 1996, 97 was probably 10 times worse than CM Punk's worst attitude in any time of his career.
Yeah,
so
that's 10 times. Yeah. I think you're underselling.
I'm underselling that.
That man was a goddamn menace.
You need a diabolical menace.
You need to boost that selling up to SummerSlam levels.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say CM Punk because I really do think in the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to hear a lot of wrestlers say, you know, I wanted to wrestle because I saw CM Punk, or I wanted to have the kind of path that Punk had. I have him as my number 18. Just a reminder, we're only doing 20 to 11 tonight, everyone. And then tomorrow night, we're going to be doing 11 to 1 or 10 to 1. So, Dean, you're number 17.
I have Rey Mysterio.
Great.
I think Rey is the greatest luchador of all time. And that's not even close. Yeah,
he's so influential, man.
And he's still going with no knees.
Yeah.
Even with L.A. Parker on the list?
That's true. I forgot about La Parker.
the chairman for wrestling.
It was not between him and Eddie. I don't have Eddie on my list, but Eddie would be in like my top 25. You know what I mean? Like if we did a nice quarter hundred, you know, Eddie would be in the 25. He'd probably be like 21. But like, I just think Ray is the greatest luchador of all. It's not even close. And the fact that he's had such a long career. I mean, when did he get his start, George, in ECW? Do you remember? Was that like 95, 96, somewhere around there?
It was like 95. Because that was around the time that Bischoff started kind of pillaging talent out of ECW because he saw the moneymakers and yanked them all. So, that's why Heyman basically hates him.
Yeah. So, like, and he's won literally like every belt you can win.
Yeah.
Pretty much except for like the WCW world title. Like that was like the only thing he never got. Like it's just, you know, and then he held
gold, which is basically the WCW.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a little bit in the, like the Ruthless Aggression era, I did get kind of annoyed with him with the whole underdog thing. Like George, you remember that?
I'm the underdog. You lose your mind.
Like Dave Bautista would like crush it.
Yeah.
He would smush him. But you know, just a testament over his career, just being able to come back, and you know, now he's wrestling with Dominic, and I'm not that I'm excited for Ray's retirement because you're never excited to watch a great one of your favorites to retire, regardless of their age or condition or whatever. But to celebrate his career, that I think a lot of people maybe overlook sometimes, even though he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
But to really kind of celebrate him on the way out is going to be really nice.
Your number 17, George.
My number 17 is Terry Funk.
Ooh, I mean, good one.
Now Funk was clearly before our time. I mean, throughout the 70s and early 80s. But the big reason why I put Terry Funk on the list was for the fact that this man went to ECW and brought eyes to that product. he was like the first huge name that they got. And by this point, I mean, he was already, he was at the middle aging crazy point of Terry Funk, where now he's doing the moonsault that clearly was not the greatest looking moonsault in the world, but it didn't matter, because now he's going way above and beyond what somebody at, he's probably like 46 when he did ECW, which 46 in 1995 is not 46 in 2024.
Yeah.
By any stretch. I mean, Terry Funk was the hardest 20-year-old in the world at one point, because this man did nothing but drank and smoked and wrestled Flair 90 times a month. But, and he was a legit tough guy, a legit badass. You did not want to fight. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's no Haku, the man who's winning bar fights by himself while laughing and drinking a scotch at the same time. But Terry Funk, I mean, and we talked about Lawler at Memphis. I mean, I was Funk in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. That's a great, I mean, Terry Funk, I mean, like I said, before our time, but hey, look, you make it sound plus good. Got, good for
plus
you. Got,
plus, I mean, he also had good crossover appeal. I mean, he went to movies also in the 80s. He was in Roadhouse. He was in Over the Top.
Mm-hmm.
But you completely glossed over Chainsaw Charlie.
Well, maybe in passing.
That was an era where he was calling everybody's mother a whore.
He's still doing it. He's dead. Probably,
yeah, right. All right. My number 17 is Seth Rollins. I think at the end of the day, about 10 years, I think when it's all said and done in the next decade, I think Roman Reigns and Seth could possibly be in that range of top five, top six, seven of all time. One, accomplishments. Two, I mean, their staying power. It's already, I mean, people forget they've already been on the main roster and almost main eventing for a decade. 2020, this year is actually 10 years. When they came, they're in one of the top three or four greatest factions of all time. They've had incredible WrestleMania moments. Obviously, Roman Reigns just main evented his ninth consecutive WrestleMania.
That's a word for me, brother.
So, and then also from just an in-ring standpoint, I mean, I can't name five better in-ring wrestlers that I've ever seen than Seth. And, you know, the other four, I think, are on my list, and I'll get to them.
Is Tom Zink one of them?
Has to be.
The other four are just four different versions of Shawn Michaels.
Rockers version, Sensational Sherry version, All Red version,
and then WA.
Texas Pants version.
poop brown Elimination Chamber pants.
Mm-hmm. And what also I think helps from a Jericho standpoint with Seth Rollins is Seth is able to reinvent himself all the time, and it works. I mean, he's arguably right now, I think, the number two most over pro wrestler in the world right now, behind Cody Rhodes. And it, you know, when you hear The Rock go on his worldwide platform and tell you that most valuable player of the roster is Seth Rollins, that's a pretty big, you know, badge of honor from The Rock, who is top three, four, five of all time. Undertaker said the same thing on his podcast earlier this week. So that's a pretty big deal when you're getting that. I mean, if you ask Bret Hart, you know, Bret has said before, you know,
he'll just rant.
If you ask Bret Hart, he's going to bitch about Goldberg.
Yeah.
So yeah, my number 17 is Seth Rollins. Number 16 for you, Dean.
I have CM Punk.
Wow.
I feel like our whole list
is going to mirror each other.
Yeah, I mean, probably. I've always been a Punk fan. I've never thought he was great in the ring, mm-hmm. but on the mic, there's very few that have been better, in my opinion. Scripted, unscripted, you still got to be able to cut the promo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's not many people who have been better. And there's not many people, if any, in the business that have been a true cult of personality in the business. He is polarizing, but he's loved, and he's hated, you know. And like, just look at what happened over the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, with all the shit with AEW, you know, he's just in the zeitgeist of professional wrestling in my mind. And, you know, yes, we like to, you know, bash AEW in our group chat and stuff like that. But I can't deny that his return at Rampage 2 years ago was one of the greatest wrestling returns of all time. It was electric, you know. And
that was the last time they popped any kind of rating.
Yeah, correct.
They popped the rating last week for a little bit.
Oh, by
showing
the way,
CM Punk.
Yeah, exactly. it's been like a year and 6 months since they've also sold out a venue too.
Good.
Just throwing that out there.
They probably won't even sell out Riverside High School right now.
There's a lot of mess in that town.
So what you're saying is they're on the list.
But I think Punk is overlooked too. But again, he's not the best in the ring.
Right.
But he's not like, you know, he's not Ultimate Warrior where he's just like four moves of doom. You know what I mean? Right. Like, you know, he's still pretty solid in the ring. And the fact that for years, in that 8 year window it was between him walking out of the company and going to AEW,
mm-hmm.
you still got CM Punk chance for years, and it's just,
years. Yeah,
he's a wrestling culture icon.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. All right, you're number 16, George.
My number 16 is Randy Orton.
Beautiful.
I mean, you talk about Seth Rollins, how like mm-hmm. when it's all said and done. I mean, Randy, we're watching a legend in his final years right now with Randy Orton. I mean, he's mm-hmm. only got so many years left, and the man's still performing at a high level.
Yeah, he's incredible.
He was out for 18 months,
yep.
and he came back just on that 2002 Triple H workout, just swole as fuck. And he just had a banger of a triple threat match with Logan Paul and Kevin Owens at WrestleMania.
Yep.
It's...
And third Randy's generation like the, star, man.
Third generation. He's so good, people don't even care who the hell Bob Orton even was.
Yeah.
Like Randy, I mean, there is no family shadow when it comes to him because mm-hmm. he's the one that casts the shadow, as far as I'm concerned. Randy, I mean, I remember when WWF released that list of like their or that DVD of like their 25 or 50 greatest wrestlers of all time, and even mm-hmm. John Cena said when it's all said and done, Randy Orton could be the greatest superstar of all time.
Yeah, I agree. My number 16 is probably somebody I probably should have put higher, but looking at my list, I just don't know where I would have fit him in at. It's Kurt Angle. There's a lot of arguments that could be made to me that he might be one of the best, if not the best, in-ring wrestler of all time. The dude was an Olympic gold medalist, you know, wrestled with a broken neck like four or five different times. Not saying that was smart, but he did. He just seemed like a mutant for so long. And let's not forget the big part about his career here. He debuted in the Attitude Era at its height and its peak. And he was on top almost immediately. And the dude had just started taking back bumps like 3 months prior to debuting. Just an absolute natural in the ring. For a guy that had to spend a lifetime staying off of his back, learned how to become one of the best pro wrestlers of all time, taking back bumps and jumping all over the ring. And still to this day has the prettiest moonsault in wrestling history.
I was about to bring that up. What a great moonsault by him.
Yeah. He did it, and it's crazy. People don't understand this either. He was in TNA longer than he was in the WWE. And, you know, it's still a legend in the internet today of Perk Angle. I'm sure he doesn't love it too much, but, you know, some of the matches he had in TNA were spectacular. And, you know, just to let everybody know, in the future, we are going to be covering some TNA pay-per-views from back in the day that he's obviously going to be on. Just he had some great rivalries in that company with Jarrett, with Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, like just the names that he left WWE in, I believe it was 07, 06, 07.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
That
was a big deal.
Yeah, it was a huge deal. I'm going to have Kurt Angle there. I mean, his WrestleMania matches have been Oh my gosh, Eddie Guerrero, Shawn Michaels, Brock Lesnar, just to name a few off the top of my head there. Just a legend, an absolute legend.
Baron Corbin.
I was there for that. What an embarrassment. Baron Corbin. Obviously, John Cena, you know. Kurt Angle is just an absolute legend. So I have him at number 16. So, you know, send your hate tweets to at ChrisDFran3 because I'm sure I'm going to get people that are saying he should have been way higher than that. But I'm sorry.
Dean's going to send you hate tweets anyway, but it's not going to be about
He's going to be like a TK burner account and just say, oh, piece of shit. Bill Goldberg should have been 16.
Hi, this is Tony Khan. I like cocaine.
All right. Number 15, Dean.
I don't want to say this was like by obligation, but I felt I had to put him on here. I just didn't know where to put him on here because he was before my time, and it's Bruno.
At one point, he was on my list.
Yeah. Like, I just felt like I had to put him on here, and I figured like 15 is a nice round number. You know, the dude's got the two longest title reigns in the history of the business.
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. outside of Moolah, who held the belt for like 30 years because she refused mm-hmm. a job to anybody. But yeah, like, I mean, Bruno was, you know, for, you know, everything we've been told and, you know, you watch older stuff too, but he was the man for like mm-hmm. forever.
Like sold out Madison Square Garden all the time.
Yeah. Like he was the guy, you know, mm-hmm. and there were other greats at the time. I mean, Billy Graham, I think gets overlooked. Bob Backlund, I think gets overlooked. Mm-hmm. But Bruno was the guy. He was the man that Vince's father threw the company back on, you know, threw the company on his back, and mm-hmm. he just carried him for like 20 years, you know,
yeah.
or whatever, 10 years, whatever it was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had to put him somewhere, and I figured 15 mm-hmm. is like just a good round number to put him in there.
That's a good number. Yep. Number 15, George.
My number 15 is Rey Mysterio.
Mm. Nice.
I mean, as Dean said, he is the greatest luchador of all time, and it really is not even close.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as he is the measuring stick for every luchador to come. Like he should be the model
mm-hmm.
that everyone should be not base themselves off, but they should be looking at him, being like, "That's what I want to do." What he can do, and as cleanly and safely as Rey does it. I mean, even though Rey's knees are fucking gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not as gone as like Terry Funk's were, where he was basically just bone on bone, no cartilage, but
right.
Rey's getting close and Rey's still doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some of the bangers that he had like last year, a year before that with Andrade were unbelievable.
Oh yeah.
Like man. Dude's in his mid 40s having these matches.
He was one of the selling points of me watching WCW.
For sure, absolutely.
To see what the Luchas were going to do, but I mainly mm-hmm. wanted to see what Rey was going to do.
Yeah.
Because here's a guy who's shorter than me.
Yeah.
By a lot. Like Ray's like 5'5", I'm 6'1".
Mm-hmm.
And he's moving around. He's holding his own with guys who are twice the size in yeah. height and weight.
Yeah.
And making yeah. him look like $1 million. Bumping for everybody.
Yeah.
One of the nastiest jackknife powerbomb sells of all time.
Yes.
And when he got javelin thrown to the side of a damn trailer in
India. Also with Ray, real quick. I think him and Jericho are really the only two people left in the industry who have been in like most of the major organizations in professional wrestling history.
I think you're right.
I think TNA is the only major one that both of them have not been in.
Yeah. But they were both in ECW at some point.
Yep.
Both in WCW, both in the Fed/E. They mm-hmm. both went to Japan. Ray bounced down to AAA for a bit when he was
yeah.
out of the company. I don't think Jericho went down to AAA at all. I wouldn't. I don't have it up in front of me. But
I think Jericho went to New Japan, then he jumped on the AEW bandwagon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I swear I thought Ray showed up for like a match in TNA, but I can't remember.
You know what's funny? I think you're right. I just don't know when.
There was like a 4-year period when he wasn't with WWE. Just a few years ago, and he was just like going around the world, like just wrestling.
I thought he was. I know he did AAA. I don't know if he was like yeah. doing like CMLL or
it could have been that. Yeah,
I know he was doing a lot of stuff with like the up and coming luchadors.
Yeah, it could have been that, but that's a testament to their longevity to be able to, like, that's not. I mean, I'm sure there's, you know, I'm sure Mikey Whipwreck is still doing shit, or Sabu, but, like, not on the level of, like, Ray and Jericho. You know, I mean, we can make fun of AEW all you want, but Jericho is still, go, you know, full time, you know, in the second largest promotion in the country.
Mm-hmm. So my number 15 is Roman Reigns, our tribal chief. Look, he really should be higher. You main event 9 WrestleManias. I mean, you hold the title for over 3 years. 4 years.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think it was just shy of 4 years.
Like, it's unbelievable. And let's, everyone who's watching this or going to listen to this and watch this when it posts, let's not forget the shit that he had to deal with for more than half of his career on with creative.
Suffering succotash. That's all you need.
Right. I mean, just the in dog my opinion, food
angle with fucking Baron Corbin. Jesus Christ.
The dog mascot coming out to his the entrance theme.
The Rock trying to put him over at Royal Rumble
getting booed. You know, having Michael Cole say the big dog 37 times in a 3-hour period. You know, let's just, I know I got to applaud.
By the way,
he had leukemia.
Yeah. Remember the tug of war him and Lesnar had on?
Yes.
Awkwardly grabbing the belt.
Thanks, man.
Let's just like applaud this dude for sticking it out and literally just waiting for that piece of garbage to crap on someone's head so he can get out of the industry. You know, I'm just so grateful that he was able to stick with it. And when they finally let him loose to be a heel, which what he should have been 8, 9, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That what an unbelievable run. I can't wait to see what's next for him. Like I said before, but like I said, a couple numbers ago with him and Rollins, and in 7, 8 years, we might be talking about literally two of the greatest to ever be in pro wrestling. So it's just really cool to be, you know, again, I think Roman for a while, you know, he was falling in that John Cena section for me where I was just tired of seeing the guy. I mean, and it's not his fault. You know, he's, you know, if they're going to shove him down our throats, and it's not my call. He's just going to do what he's told to do. But I was just, all of us collectively were tired of seeing Roman Reigns. And then when he finally, everything changed when he finally turned heel. And it was something that all of us were just begging to happen for a long time. And it happened, and it's been one of the greatest runs in wrestling history. So,
and now he's going to turn babyface again.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's going to work because they made the heel turn work so damn well that it what they're doing with the bloodline now, I think it's going to work. The turn's going to work, and it helps when you have Triple H, who was one of the most successful pro wrestlers of all time, both as a heel and a babyface, is able to creatively write that and make that happen.
Let's be honest. I would say over the last 2 years of this run he's had, he's been cheered a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
So he don't even have to change his character.
Right.
You just need to make the heel more of a heel.
Yeah. Yep.
Rock. Which, I mean, if he's going to feud with The Rock, I mean, he's the final boss. So.
Yeah.
So he really don't have to change anything.
I mean,
unless they decide to go even further into the heel character with him, and then The Rock turns babyface. But I doubt that's what they're doing.
I never want The Rock to be babyface again after seeing Final Boss. Just please be The Rock, please.
Please.
Number 14, Dean.
I have Macho Man Randy Savage.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know I'm a huge Savage fan, but as the years
his influences on, just don't stop.
Yeah.
People love him.
And years ago, I would have him a lot higher. But as the years have gone on, I still love Savage. You know, he was, you know, his ring attire, his entrance attire, just how serious he took his role in whatever he did. Great in the ring, great on the mic. He was the total package that just unfortunately had to deal with Hulk Hogan.
Being the bigger name.
Because Savage had it all.
Yep.
And he was one of the few wrestling deaths that I almost actually like teared up when he passed away. Like
that hurt. That hurt.
I've always loved Randy, and I was I think he was. I think like a couple of the others I named, I think he's so grossly overlooked because he was number two to Hogan his pretty much his whole career.
Yep,
and it's a shame.
Yeah, man.
And he still has the greatest elbow drop of all time.
Oh, so such a great elbow drop, man.
It was it's so stiff. He landed it perfectly every single time. It was like clockwork. Like Sean's is great in its own right. It's just Sean's was like so like fluid and you know, he landed it perfect. But Randy's was just like every single time he landed it the exact like same way.
He took your rib cage out. Like he landed, he stiffed everyone on that. And it was great. Yep.
I mean, his elbow drop was so good, it woke Hulk Hogan up after he got taken out by the Dungeon of Doom. That had to be fucking Hogan's call to do that, just to show that, hey, look, I stood up after Savage's elbow drop, brother.
He's my Prince Charming.
That worked for me.
Number 14, hey, George.
Warrior kicked out of eight of them. So.
Yeah, that's well... True. That's because he no-sold everything because he's a clown and a half. My number 14 is not a clown and a half. It's Kurt Angle.
Okay.
I mean, we talk about, you know, his debut. His first year with the company is one of the greatest first years of any wrestler ever. He won every singles belt in his first year while winning the WWF title. In October of 2000, when he debuted 11 months prior.
Yeah.
I mean, he went to the top of the card and he fucking stayed there.
Yeah.
There was,
I'm guessing the only better first year is Brock.
I mean, yeah.
Brock
main
evented Mania in his first year, won the title.
Yeah, but Kurt won the European title, the Intercontinental title, King of the Ring. He was undefeated from his debut up until he got choked out by Taz and then still screamed that he was still undefeated because the choke out didn't count. And then right up to him, that SummerSlam match, SummerSlam 2000, him, The Rock, Triple H, one of the great all-time bangers when it comes to triple threat matches.
Right.
And then him winning the title.
Yeah.
At No Mercy in 2000.
Mm-hmm. We'll watch that again soon.
It was, and then like when he shaved his head bald and then he got serious, he got even better.
Oh God. Yeah. It's had the mouthpiece in.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, and TNA, he helped TNA become, I don't want to say juggernaut, but they were essentially a juggernaut. But he also helped them be a real alternative.
He helped them be legitimate. He legitimized.
He legitimized. Yes. Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I'm not good with words.
It's okay.
I'm a product of the New Jersey public school system. But even in TNA, it's just it was just great match after great match. I mentioned the two Hall of Fame career with Booker T. It's the same thing with Kurt Angle.
Yeah. Let's not also discount his promo ability.
No.
His comedy.
When
he adapted to anything.
When he was just, you know, when he's like, oh, you know, I'm an Olympic champion and people weren't taking it. Then he just kept going harder with it.
Yeah.
Because he knew it was getting so much heat, and then paired up with Bob Backlund.
Yeah.
His debut WrestleMania 16 triple threat match, him and Jericho and Benoit. Yeah.
Yep.
Holy shit.
Yeah. His matches with Benoit were just, I used the word masterclass, but though, I mean, you can't show them now, but those are matches I'd show to prospective wrestlers. Be like, hey, you want to work a wrestling match? Watch these guys.
Exactly.
Kurt's just Kurt. I love the guy. All right, my number.
He loves you too, Chris.
He should.
He just tweeted me.
My number 14 is Randy Orton. Probably also should be higher, but again, I just don't know where to put him. This is a dude that's been in the same company for 20 years. Over 20 years, this guy's been in there. He was part of what I believe is the second greatest faction of all time in Evolution. He's one of the dudes where he's never been a legitimate babyface because he's forever been one of the best heels of all time. He works a heel style, but you know, I feel like I now associate Randy Orton, whereas I feel like, you know, Seth Rollins has gotten to the Randy Orton level. I think Roman is actually now officially in that Randy Orton level. And I use Orton as the example for no matter what he does, heel or babyface, he's going to get cheered because the respect is so high for Randy Orton that people love him no matter what he does. It does not matter. People are cheering The Rock no matter what he did as the final boss because it's just, you're The Rock. Like, I know they call it a tweener, but I don't even think it's a tweener because Orton doesn't change his style. Rollins doesn't change his style. Roman doesn't change his style. You know, for a long time, you know, Shawn Michaels didn't change his style. And he could do both, you know, in that program against Hulk Hogan in 2005. Shawn worked as a complete and total heel and was cheered more. Like that's the thing. Like, you reach that level where you're so good, you're so respected, you're so over. And I call it basically like that's the Randy Orton level. Doesn't matter what he does, he's going to be cheered. People are going to love him because he's just an all time great. He's done everything. What's he, a 13 time champion?
14. You know,
he made Matt Riddle interesting. He is spectacular. Whatever role you put him in, he's the man. I think he's a lifer in that company. I can definitely see when he's done wrestling in a few years, I'm sure he's going to be part of, you know, that back area. I can see him helping a Shawn Michaels in NXT. Randy Orton, hands down, one of the top 20 of the greatest of all time.
I'll tell you one thing about Randy Orton, Chris, is the fact that how you said, you know, like he's always, you know, he always just works that same style. Even when he's a face, everyone's still staring, like at any point he's going to turn on his partner. It's going to happen at any point. That RKO is going to come out of nowhere. Like we all know it's going to happen. It may not be today, but it's coming down the line.
Right. And he's also one of the few guys on my list where I can actually look in my head, and I've watched tens of thousands probably of wrestling matches in my life. I can't name one bad Randy Orton match. I just can't name a bad one. And I feel the same way with Roman. I've never seen a bad Roman match.
Match wasn't very good.
I mean, but that wasn't his fault. Like, that's right. How I look at it. Like, I've never seen him have any bad botches that made him look bad. He's been in some poor matches, but I don't think that was necessarily on his end. Because I think, like Triple H and guys like that, he's a ring general. He's someone that will call in the ring. And I love Randy Orton, always have. I really hope soon he gets a chance to go back to being that Apex Predator type. My favorite version of Randy Orton was probably the legacy Randy Orton, where he was just vicious heel. Loved him as that, you know, iteration of his character. All right, number 13, Dean.
I have Kurt Angle.
Okay, so we're on that little spot there.
I mean, you guys really kind of hit the nail on the head. I don't need to add much more except for the fact that what a gracious man to put over Baron Corbin like that.
It's almost as gracious as John Cena putting over Solo.
Yeah. Class act.
But I will say Angle.
Or the Nexus putting over John Cena.
Yes.
Kurt Angle is in one of my all-time favorite matches. I mean, he's had so many great matches, but one of my all-time favorite matches of all time is the triple threat with him, The Rock, and The Undertaker.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite matches ever.
Yeah, I love that match so much. So, because it was like all three guys really like giving it their all. Like even Taker, he wasn't confined to the dead man gimmick, so he could really kind of like be a wrestler. But there's not much more to say about Angle. Yeah. You guys
understood.
You said it best.
Mm-hmm. Number 13, George.
My number 13 is Bruno Sammartino.
Okay.
I mean, I said Bruno is well before our time. I mean, he retired by the time I was born. So, I mean, it's not really a whole much I can really say about him, except for the fact that I don't think the industry would be where it is, say, actually, not even industry. I don't think the WWE would be where it is today if not for Vince's dad backing the Bruno horse and just building the company up around him. I mean, you said he sold at Madison Square Garden probably more times than anybody.
Yeah.
Which is saying something, because it's pro wrestling. I mean, how many music? I mean, doesn't Billy Joel do Madison Square Garden like 3 times a year nowadays? Yeah. And he's still not close to what Bruno was doing.
Right. All right. My number 13 is Eddie Guerrero. And again, this isn't a top 20 of my favorites because I am not a big Eddie guy at all.
Dominic's father. Nice.
But right. But over the last few years, I've watched a lot of Eddie matches. And I watched the dude, especially I watched a lot of his work in WCW. Holy moly. Like he's one of those guys that I never appreciated while he was here. And of course, you know, he was one of the first guys and he was taken so early from us. He went in 2005. Holy cow. And the dude was just so over. His comedy was incredible. I loved his work when he was with China, in that Attitude Era, at the back end of the Attitude Era. He's also one of them dudes where if you look at pro wrestlers today, he is so influential in so many people's careers. And he's still talked about so often by guys. I literally just watched an interview the other day with Rollins, and I think he was on Logan Paul's Impulsive podcast, and he brought up Eddie Guerrero as someone he just recently watched because he was trying to learn different transitions. I'm like, right there already. He's been dead for 20 years, and we still have top guys in today watching his matches to learn certain aspects of what he did. And again, you know, my wife has said so many times she likes wrestlers who could sell really well. Eddie was one of the best I've ever seen that could sell another guy's moves. I mean, if you guys want proof of, not you guys, but if anybody wants proof of that, just watch any of his matches against Rey Mysterio. Just watch any.
Are you saying she's not a fan of the Ultimate Warrior?
No. she actually does like good workers and not, you know, racist bigots either. So
she doesn't like watching a guy get punched in the face and him just going.
I have Eddie as my number 13. I think he's incredibly influential. Someone who's still talked about today very often by all the younger generations. And as an in-ring worker, he's just one of the best.
And his son is taking.
And his son
is taking the company by storm.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, yep.
Greatest heel of all time right now. His son,
right?
It's amazing. I mean, it's a shame that in WCW was basically ruled under the iron fist of Hulk Hogan. You know, keeping guys like that down because WCW really had no idea what they had with those guys.
Right.
They were like, hey, just go out and you know, I got 15 minutes to kill. Just go out and do a match. Go out and throw something together.
Mm-hmm.
It's had they just put enough behind him and some of those other guys like Booker and Jericho, that company could still be around today.
I agree. All right. Last two here before we cut out for the night. We'll be back with the top 10 tomorrow. Number 12, Dean.
Randy Orton.
All right. We all have these guys in the same near the same spot.
I think Randy, I mean, George will tell you, I mean, Chris, we, you know, you and I have been reconnected for 4 years now, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have I praised just Orton all the time?
None, all the time.
He is easily one of the best in-ring performers I've ever seen in my life.
Easily.
Just incredible. I think his only knock would be that he was never like,
a great promo
on the mic. Yeah, never was great on the mic. Not terrible, but it took him a while to kind of like get up to snuff with that, you know. But he's pretty good now. But like he's easily one of the best heels of all time. You know, the feud with Triple H when he went to their house, you know, when he kissed Stephanie in the ring while she was knocked down, Triple H was handcuffed in the corner, like just stuff like that. His feud with Cena is some of the best work. Evolution, my favorite faction of all time. Just everything Orton does is great. I would love to see him get one more title run.
Me too. I think it'll eventually come.
Probably. I don't think it'll be the WWE title. It'll probably be the World Heavyweight title. I see that kind of being, I don't want to say a hot potato title, but I feel like that's going to change hands a little bit more than the WWE title. Because I think the WWE title is going to be tied up between Cody, Roman, and The Rock for the next 2 years.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I got Randy Orton on at number 12.
All right. How about you, George?
My number 12 might be a little controversial with the two of you, because I'm sure you have this guy much higher than I do. But it's Bret Hart.
Whoa. All right. the first shocker of the list.
Yeah. I mean, it's because I look at everything above him and I don't see who I can move out. It's one of those things. But Bret, I mean, literally one of the best technical wrestlers of all time, from one of the best greatest I've ever seen, from one of the greatest wrestling families. I mean, I mean, most famous wrestling families. I mean, I will say greatest was him and Owen.
Yeah, definitely not that piece of shit Smith Hart.
Nope, definitely not Smith. but Bret was just—he was a whole other level.
Yeah,
and he'd stood out at a time when it was still the land of the giants. It was still Hogan and Warrior, but Bret still found a way to stand out amongst them to the point that even Hogan's like, that don't work for me, brother. I'm going to be Yokozuna.
Yeah.
Well, Bret Graves gave him that title.
Yeah, I mean, he did. He's like, hey, you know, Hogan, I want you to have this, man.
You've got to beat him. Hogan's like, I don't know, brother. I don't know if I can do this. And Bret gave him the old Canadian one, too.
And Bret really pushed that. What's the
Canadian one, too?
Yeah, I would love to know what that is. And Bret. Bret really carried that company through some lean times. I mean,
they didn't get much more lean than that era from 1994 to 1997.
I mean, there was times he said that he was only scheduled to work like 250 dates and like he wrestled like 320. Like he just wouldn't stop. Why he's got such a huge contingency of fans in Bahrain.
Yeah, I was about to mention that. Don't forget about those Hart fans in Bahrain.
I mean, the
only reason why I have Bret so much lower is, I mean, he was a bit of a nuisance backstage. He did punch his boss in the face, made him fear for his life. So I don't know why you even want to work in such an environment with such violent people backstage. So it's
there. It is, Dean. There's the AEW reference.
Hey, I didn't mention by name. You're the one that did.
I mean, listen, F those guys, but it's, I can see George the whole night. George is just like, I gotta say, he
was where
like,
can I fit? Where can I fit it?
I didn't even say the name. You guys are the ones that said it. Like, I could be talking about anything. I could be talking about Canadian Stampede Wrestling. You don't know.
Sure.
Calgary Stampeders.
George is like Tony Khan backstage waiting for his bump.
Nah. There's no cocaine with this body, let me tell you.
All right, my number
hard work and exercise.
My number 12 is Rey Mysterio. I think Rey is one of the most decorated and influential pro wrestlers in the history of the business. I mean, a massive part of pro wrestling is luchador, and the number one icon, the number one role model in that entire, I mean, we think wrestling is popular in North America. I mean, you go anywhere in Mexico, anywhere outside of the US and massive how big pro wrestling is, especially the masked wrestlers. Rey is that guy. Like I have a family friend who has family in Mexico, and she travels there a couple times a year, and she tells me all the time, she'll take photos. She'll be walking the streets of Mexico and it's like the Italian market in Philadelphia, but like all across Mexico City. And she's like, all you see, Chris, all you see is Mysterio masks. That's all you see. And that's all kids are wearing all over the towns. And he's like a god. He's like a demigod down there. And,
they're like real life superheroes in Mexico.
I know. So Rey like almost is like he's bigger than the business. I feel like he transcends it. And that's a big deal. I think how Dean brought up how Randy Savage isn't talked about enough. Rey Mysterio, I think it's appalling how much he's not celebrated as a as such a legend in the industry. Maybe,
let's not bring up Chris. He got unmasked in WCW.
I know.
And then came to WWE, remasked, and act like it never happened.
That's how little amount of people were watching WCW at that time.
To the point that his ass still covers up his face, and like when they go to his house, it's like Thanksgiving dinner, and Ray's wearing a mask at dinner, Dave. It's like, you're kidding me.
Or he'll take pictures with his daughter. He'll be like this.
Yeah.
You know what you look like. You haven't aged. You just don't have hair anymore.
And he doesn't have those stupid ass devil horns glued to his head anymore.
God.
But
fucking filthy animals.
Yeah. So I'll say Ray's my number 12. All right, here we go. Last one of the night, guys. Dean, you're number 11.
I juggled whether to put him in my top 10 or not, but I decided to ultimately put him here. Again, somebody who is slightly before my time, and it's Andre the Giant.
Oh, I mean, you'll hear him tomorrow.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out if I wanted to put him in my top 10 or not, but when you hear who my number 10 is, you'll be like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
I mean, Dean, an argument can be made, and I'll mention it again tomorrow. An argument can be made that Andre is a bigger name than Hogan.
You can argue that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Andre was, again, because he was, you know, prior to us, and WrestleMania 3 was the tail end of his career, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he was only a few years away from really being done. Like, he was huge.
Yeah.
Huge. And, like, if Andre put you over, that meant something. That was a true, like, that means something. So,
he was the boss. Vince called him he's the boss.
Yeah. So, and even if you don't really know much about Andre's career, WrestleMania 3 alone puts him in the top 20.
Yep.
Because that's the greatest. It might not be the best match of all time. And also,
it's the greatest moment in wrestling history. The
greatest moment in wrestling history because that's when wrestling transcended.
Absolutely.
It went from pro wrestling
to a global phenomenon
to sports entertainment. Yep. Right. Yep. I hate the term sports entertainment, but it went from wrestling to that, and it's never left that stratosphere.
Right. Great, great point. Phenomenal point. Yeah. Your number 11, George.
My number 11 is Roddy Piper.
Wow.
You guys know
I'm surprised he's not in your top 10.
I so badly wanted to put him in there, but I told Chris this when I was making a list, was like, when you're doing this, when you're putting who you think is the greatest and then like who your favorites are, you got to be subjective.
I know.
Otherwise he would have been up in like the top five, you know, but it's
so hard because you spend so much time focusing on your favorites.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, damn, I can't do it.
I mean, basically what I do is like, I listen to my favorite and then I just come in like, what did they mean to the business?
Right.
Just not go from there. Like,
yeah.
And Piper, I mean, as we said with Hulkamania, would Hulkamania have been bigger without him? I mean, a hero is really only as good as your villain.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the villain that Hogan needed to shoot Hulkamania up to the stratosphere.
Yep, I agree.
Because they weren't pushing Sheik, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I mean, and even though Hogan did beat him for the belt in 83, and then we never fucking saw him again after that with Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Piper.
Who are you talking about? He was Joe Adnan.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're all trying to forget that. Especially,
but you're right.
Especially that was Sarge.
Great. That was great.
But you're so right about that.
Joe Adnan. It was Colonel Mustafa. Yes. Whatever. Joe Adnan was somebody else.
But you're right, George, how important it is for, if you want to be that great babyface, you got to have that equally matched great heel. I mean, you know, what Dusty was to Flair, what, you know, Rock was to Austin, or I'm trying to think of another one. What Stone Cold was to Bret Hart in the late 90s. Like, you needed that. It was so, and that's what Hulkamania needed, Piper. I mean, in order for Hulk to become the man, like, I mean, you know, to be the greatest of all time, which we all agree he is, he needed that shot in his arm of Hot Rod. He needed that.
But and this is how good Piper was as a heel. For our lifetime, Piper was for the majority of our lifetime, Piper was a face.
Yeah, it's wild to think
but
that.
But we know him as just this dastardly heel.
Yeah.
Because like once like WrestleMania 3, it's Adrian Adonis. And Adrian Adonis was a heel.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then even from there, you know, when he showed up with Morton Downey Jr. doing a segment of the Piper's Pit.
You know, yep.
He got
yep.
cheered.
He was a baby face against Butch Reed.
When he went to WCW, he feuded against the NWO.
Yeah.
It was still mm-hmm. him and Hogan. Yeah. The roles were just reversed.
Somehow he pinned Hogan, or was it Hogan when he pinned, or he pinned Goldberg or something like that?
Oh, you mean when he pinned Goldberg and Bret Hart won the title?
Yeah.
Yeah. What a wild time it was in WCW.
Because he was shielding Goldberg, and then for some reason the ref just went for the count.
Yeah, well, you know, what a time. What a time.
What a time. I mean,
and what he did, like Piper's Pit wise, in terms of the in-ring talk show segments.
Yeah.
They'll never be topped with what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And how influential he was for other people on the mic. I mean, he's probably the greatest to ever do it and on the microphone. I mean,
he's definitely in that argument.
He's not a manager, because obviously you got Heenan and Heyman are miles above that. But Piper could talk the talk and walk the walk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. And listen, for that dumbass who stole his gimmick, who wrote a book and is bitch about everything else. Mm-hmm. I don't care if Piper gave her the name Rowdy. She ain't fucking Rowdy.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, it's a sacrilege that she was even calling herself Rowdy Ronda Rousey.
Well, Ronda certainly has her opinions, man. She's
well, they're all wrong.
Yeah.
CTE is no joke.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
And I mean, I guess her husband just really did a number on that brain.
Yikes.
So number 11 to finish up the evening here, before we come back tomorrow with numbers 10 through 1. My number 11 is Macho Man Randy Savage. And Lord knows I'm not a Randy Savage guy. But I will say, again, he's one of those guys I've been going back and watching, and he's had some great matches. I will say, though, like after his WrestleMania match with Flair, his career in ring just took a complete nosedive in terms of quality. I mean, I can only name one really good match he had in WCW, and that was against Diamond Dallas Page.
His feuds with Flair and Page were really good.
Yeah, they were really good. But look, again, he's another one of those guys, and this plays a big role to me. The influence that Randy Savage still has today is uncanny. From Bayley to CM Punk to Seth Rollins, it's incredible to see, you know, 30 years later, 40 years after him being in the WWE, the dude is still just such an influential character, and is looked upon by a lot of wrestlers today. You know, watching WrestleMania 3 against Steamboat is shown to all the NXT talents as a way to teach so much about pro wrestling. So, you know, Savage was awesome, man. And it really does suck, you know, and it's crazy you say this about Randy, Dean, because I think we're seeing it now. He had Hogan in that same era. I think we're going through it now where, again, you know, you can make fun of me for saying it, but, you know, Seth has Roman. Seth Rollins is in the Roman Reigns era.
Yeah, but Roman didn't have, like, the backstage politics that Hogan had to basically Macho down.
You're right. That's a good point. Right,
and for the first half of Roman's solo career, Everybody preferred Rollins to Roman for the first half of Roman's career, whereas I mean, look, Randy had his love. Randy has lovers. People, you know, loved him more than Hogan. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, there were those people out there. But I guess you can, I can understand what you mean with Roman as tribal chief.
Yeah.
He just overshadowed everybody, right? Yeah. Like, they created the whole World Heavyweight Championship because Roman was the heavyweight champion and he wasn't losing. And everybody knew Seth was going to get that belt. You know what I mean? And then people still looked at that. That's basically a glorified Intercontinental title belt. You know what I mean? And no matter how hard Seth worked for that near year he had that belt, you're just like, yeah, but that's not the real title. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So I kind of understand what you mean by that. Don't forget. He's got you for 3 minutes. You're mine.
I mean, one of the greatest promo guy ever. I mean, I don't know half the crap he was saying, but dude, that dude turned cocaine into a billion-dollar promo.
Hey, don't be disrespectful.
Look, I'm not.
Tell him.
Come on. Yeah. I mean, they were called the Mega Powers. That's because the powder that they had was just so powerful.
I can't
remember. The greatest promo that Hogan and Macho Man ever cut was when the guy on YouTube cut together all of them when they were inhaling between their words.
My favorite Macho promo was before WrestleMania 5 and Randy forgot that he already took his glasses off. So he acted like he was removing his glasses during the promo, but then he quickly realized that, oh, I already removed them in the beginning of the promo.
My favorite Randy promo was him and Hogan on the beach in Baywatch when he shows up and goes, hey, Hogan, what's he doing? What you cutting out on me to check out the ladies? That's not what you do. It's like, what, fucking Hogan write that line? Get the hell out of here.
All right, that's our list.
Bench pressing on the beach of Tropic Thunder in Paradise when Kevin Sullivan came up and choked him with the barbell.
Oh my God,
Chris, where was that? Again. Where was that filmed?
I don't remember. Was that Universal Studios?
Uh-huh.
Where was that filmed?
That scene was filmed on the beach at the Grand Floridian in Walt Disney World. That whole show was filmed in Walt Disney World.
If you can find that on YouTube, real quick, Dean, send that to me.
Please yeah, I will when we get off here.
Okay, so I can remember because I might not remember.
You can see it after Randy gets choked. He's like, Hogan, go get him. You can see the Grand Floridian in the background.
Hogan, go get him. And Terry, get him.
Will rise to the top.
So that is our number 20 to 11. Thank you guys so much for watching and listening. I'm looking right now. We have a pretty sizable crowd that is sitting here watching us, and I'm really grateful for that. Again, if you're
five people watching, fantastic.
Add a couple zeros to that.
One and two zeros.
If you're watching us on the Hot Tag channel, like, subscribe, and ring the bell for notifications. If you're on the Ring the Bell Network channel, again, like, subscribe, ring the bell for notifications. We'll be back here tomorrow night live, and we're going to give you number 10 through 1. We're getting into the top 10 of who we believe are the greatest professional wrestlers of all time, not our favorites, just the overall best to ever live. Dean George, thank you so very much for tonight, and we'll catch you guys here tomorrow. Have a great one. Good night. Bye-bye.